friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young. Welcome to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The field is now set for the round of 16 knockout stage at the World Cup football tournament in Russia. Let's take a quick look at the eight upcoming fixtures. There will be two matches on Saturday, two matches on Sunday, two matches on Monday, and two matches on Tuesday. On Saturday, France will play Argentina in Kazan, Russia. This is the only round of 16 matchup featuring former World Cup champions. France lifted the cup at home in Paris in 1998, while Argentina won world titles in 1978 and 1986. Also Saturday, Uruguay will play Portugal in Sochi, Russia. On Sunday, Russia will host 2010 World Cup champion Spain in Moscow, and Croatia will go against Denmark in Nizhny Novgorod, Russia. Looking ahead to Monday, July 2nd, Mexico will meet five-time World Cup champion Brazil in Samara, Russia, and Belgium is matched against Japan in Rostov-on-Don, Russia. And on Tuesday, July 3rd, two more World Cup knockout matches. Sweden will play Switzerland in St. Petersburg, Russia, and Colombia will go against England in Moscow. The Colombians beat Senegal 1-0 on Thursday, officially knocking out the last of this year's five African World Cup teams. VOA's Adam Phillips watched the game at a Senegalese community center in New York's bustling Harlem neighborhood. Adam reports it was an experience where hope, then disappointment, ran deep, but loyalty to Senegal and Africa ran deepest.
Despite its proud public name, the Senegalese Association in the United States of America might be difficult to spot amid all the African hair-braiding salons, fried chicken restaurants, and bauble shops of West 116th Street in Manhattan. But the many bright Senegal flags festooned outside the door shows this reporter exactly where the action is. Inside, Bachi Sam is just one of scores of proud Senegalese Americans sitting on folding chairs watching Senegal in green and Colombia in yellow playing their hearts out on a huge television screen.
So emotional right now. I can't control myself right now.
Why does it matter to you so much?
Well, this is a FIFA World Cup, and it is happening every 4 years. Right? So we need to show the world that we can do soccer.
Maybe you'll win the whole cup.
Oh my God, that would be great. And that's what we ask for.
Dr. Alok Patel is one of the few fans here wearing a necktie. Patel has just come from work at a nearby children's hospital.
Patel's an Indian name, right?
It's an Indian name, but I'm here today. My dad grew up in East Africa. I've always loved the way African people come together, the chanting, the energy, the excitement. And the one amazing thing about New York City is that this is one of the only places I know of in the entire world where you can go to a different bar and you can actually watch with people from that country. And it really gets you in the spirit. Where else in the world can I go to the Senegalese Association and actually watch a Senegal game?
Patel wants to see diversity in the upcoming knockout rounds as well.
And I really, really want an African country going there. All Senegal has to do is draw, and they can advance. And so there's a lot hinging on this game. And it's really cool because if Senegal advances the next game, this place is going to be even rowdier.
Idrissa Seck from Dakar wholeheartedly agrees.
Right now, I'm looking for a win, 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 win.
What makes it so exciting for you?
Man, we grew up in a soccer country. We grew up watching our dads, uncles playing soccer. We grew up seeing the passion that our family have without us even knowing. We just wake up one day, we have this love, this huge love in our heart for soccer. We don't call it even soccer, it's football.
What's it like watching it from so far away? Here you are in the U.S., I mean, so many miles away, but still you feel like you're at home, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Like in Harlem right here. We're in Little Senegal, so we're not far away from home.
With the red, green, and gold colors of Senegal's flag artfully folded into his West African-style headdress, it's clear where Kunte Kinte's allegiances and passions
lie. It's the pride I have for my country. We really, really love our country, so we're just here for the country. And not only representing Senegal, but also representing the whole continent. It's all about Africa right now. Because Africa had five teams that was playing in this competition. Four of them already went home. They going home if they not home already. So Africa have only one hope left, which is Senegal. So that's why it's Africa, Africa, Africa.
And Kinte says there's another reason as well.
Because to be honest with you, Africa never, never really go that far in the World Cup. Never made it to the semifinals. We've been to the quarterfinals, but never made it to the semifinals. And why not take the cup to Africa? The World Cup been to Europe with England, Germany also. It's African time now. It's the motherland, like we say.
Joy suffuses the room when Senegal steals the ball from Colombia right near the opponent's goal, then loses the ball at lightning speed when their pass is intercepted. And Abraham Roerig, an 18-year-old American boy who is here with his mother and a buddy, is riding that roller coaster with everyone else. He says he's also for Africa for the duration.
My favorite team is Ghana, but they didn't qualify this time around. So I love Senegal. Also Nigeria. My godfather is Nigerian. I also have a close friend who spent a year abroad in Dakar in Senegal. So I'm a big fan.
What should we be watching for in this game?
I don't know. Senegal seems to be really fast teams. They seem to score on the fast breaks. Though Colombia is also very good. James Rodriguez, he's a great striker. Yeah.
Senegal also has its superstars. One of the few women here names him.
Mane, Sadio Mane. He has to play hard today. Yeah.
As if on cue, Mane becomes the absolute focus of play. Kadeem Hanna explains.
What happened was Mane had the ball to score, and he got inside the penalty box and was getting ready to strike a goal. And then, like, the defense from Colombia just, like, took him out. No, the ref called a penalty, but of course they wanted us to go and look at the instant replay, and then they said no penalty.
How'd that make you feel?
Very mad at this point right now, but you know what? I still believe in Senegal, and we're going to win today, inshallah.
Inshallah.
At halftime, there is still no score. This man gets up to stretch.
We're hanging there. We're good. A little bit stressful.
When the game begins again, the spirit of the fans seemed to sag, then rally. Soon, it seems luck is on Senegal's side. Abdou Wasse explains.
Well, Colombia was going to score. Then the defender kicked the ball out.
How's that make you feel?
Great.
What do you think of this game so far?
It's a tough game.
The tie turns once again.
Colombia just scored.
Oh, it did? That's terrible.
Well, let's see what's going to happen. They still have like 20 more minutes to play. It's not over yet.
So the score now is 1-0.
Right.
Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Nearby, Salif Niasse is less optimistic.
I don't know what to think, man. It's crazy right now. It's looking like we need a miracle right now.
Sadly for Senegal, no miracle arrives, and 1-0 remains the final score, allowing Colombia to advance to the knockout phase and forcing Senegal to drop out. This 7-year-old boy expressed his feelings bluntly.
I feel very sad because I'm Senegalese, and I wish Senegal win or there was a tie, but they lost. Making me feel sad, angry, and it makes me want to punch the TV right in the face.
In contrast, Papa Ibrahima Sow, president of the Senegalese Association, took a more philosophical view.
Yeah, that's the rule of the game. You know, it's sport. You can win, you can lose. Mm-hmm. We were very, very hopeful, but unfortunately we lost. The only thing is we have to continue building on what we have already. The challenge for the whole nation should be to be back at the next World Cup. We'll see.
Viva.
Viva.
And viva FIFA. Now it's on to the knockout rounds. For the sunny side of sports, this is VOA's Adam Phillips reporting from the Little Senegal neighborhood in Harlem, New York.
Thanks, Adam. I really enjoyed your spicy World Cup feature. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. With more reaction to Senegal's elimination, as well as Thursday's World Cup results, here's my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty World Cup greetings, Gwen.
Sporty World Cup greetings, Sonny. Well, hope turned into despair for Senegalese fans following Thursday's crushing defeat against Colombia. Their elimination leaves no African team in the knockout stages for the first time in 36 years, a fact not lost on this Senegalese fan.
I think that it just shows how much it's difficult for African countries, because I believe all the African countries with Senegal are unfortunately going home. But, you know, the passion is there. It's just that the means are not there to make sure that the best get the best training and compete and are able. But I believe we will get there one day.
Senegal bows out in third place behind Japan. Poland defeated Japan in a 1-0 victory, but despite the win, Poland will not make it out of the group stage, finishing in last place. And despite the loss, Japan moves on to the round of 16 thanks to the FIFA fair play rule. After the match, the mood was a bit subdued on both sides. First, we'll hear from a Polish fan and then a fan from Japan.
We feel disappointed because the end of the game was a real disaster, because from both sides, yeah, in my opinion, it wasn't football. Yeah, of course, Japanese knows about the result between Colombia and Senegal. We were satisfied because we had 3 points, but to be honest, it cannot be a mundial. We expect from the players that they will play to the end, yeah, not theater. It was theater.
Happy, but it's boring. Happy, it's boring. Why? But we lost. You know, we can go to, you know, final tournament, but you know, we lost. So happy and boring. It was not good, you know, for soccer. You know, we lost. You know.
Japan will next face Belgium on Monday. Belgium came away with a 1-0 victory over England and a top spot in the Group G standings. England is second in that group. Ahead of Thursday's match, a reporter asked England goalkeeper Jordan Pickford whether his team would prefer to finish second in their group to have an easier World Cup campaign.
Our mentality is to win every game we're playing, and we want to win every game, and I feel like if we win every game, it just keeps building momentum to keep going in the tournament. And we know Belgium's a top opponent, and we need to be on our A game to get the win. And I feel our squad in the camp, we want to win every game we're playing, so we can't be looking into that.
Both England and Belgium advanced to the round of 16. As I mentioned, Belgium will face Japan on Monday. England plays against Colombia on Tuesday. And finally, Tunisia and Panama had already failed to progress to the last 16 before their Thursday match. But with their 2-1 victory, Tunisia came away with their first World Cup win since 1978. And Tunisian fans said, finally!
Finally, after 40 years, it's our second victory, so we are so happy.
Oh, we are so happy because Tunisia today win the match, and it was so awesome. The 2 goals were so awesome. So thank you, Tunisia, for making us happy here.
Tunisia finishes their World Cup run in third place ahead of Panama in Group G. Enjoy the round of 16, everybody. See you next week. And Sonny, have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good World Cup weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. While Adam Phillips watched the Senegal-Colombia game at a Senegalese community center in New York City, Prince Nesta returned to the Lucky Bar in Washington, D.C. to get some post-match reactions from Senegal supporters. Here's Prince.
How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling disappointed. I think we control the game like more than the Colombia. But at the end of the day, you know, it's soccer, right? Somebody got to win. So we always give up set, like goals on set pieces. And it's just one of the things that happened today. So I think we should have got a PK in the first half. And he called it and just reversed it at the end. But, you know, there's nothing you can do.
We didn't take advantage of our breaks. We lost the game when we did not beat Japan. That was a mistake. That was a problem there. That was it.
I feel disappointed, man. I am. There's no African team that made it to the second round. They just got complacent and they stopped playing. So then what happened when you start playing, the other team were going to push. They got lucky on like a corner kick and score.
Your thoughts about the match?
Too depressed, my friend. Too depressed. It's kind of a bizarre rule, right? This fair play rule. It's almost like you're getting penalized for trying. So I used to live in Senegal back in 89 to 91. Very painful.
How are you feeling right now?
Very sad. I'm from Senegal, and we're the last team in it for Africa. And, you know, I knew we had a bad goalkeeper, but I didn't know we were playing well the first half. So that was very, very deceiving how we let up a goal like that. I'm very disappointed.
What does this mean for the African continent now? We don't have a team in the round of 16.
So now we're just going to be like spectators.
I think we need to step up because, like, when you go to games, you know that the referee, they all going to be against you. You just get out and play. Play your game, you know. If you win, you win. You tie. If you lose, you lose, you know. But you cannot go there and sit and, like, sit down and play in the back, knowing that at the end of the day, you're going to get a PK call against you or some imaginary free kick against you, and which is always going to be, like, you know, something that we're not going to get anything adventurous out of. So.
You know, what this means, you know, we've seen this World Cup that Nigeria and Senegal have a really good teams, but they're just missing a few pieces. This is not the end of it. We have great players, and we have a great responsibility, and we can do this. We can win against the South American teams and European teams, but we just have to show it. And we know we have the players, and we will show it in the next World Cup. Problem with the African countries, we have to take this to heart. We got to realize that this is bigger than our country, that we're playing for the entire continent of Africa. When one African team plays, we're playing for the continent. And that's what we have to realize and just pour our hearts out there and do the right thing.
Are there specific players that stood out for you in this tournament?
I was more looking for Mane to just step up a little bit, but he did not. But so far, Musa from Nigeria, the last two games he played, he just like stood up for, like, he just played for us, for the entire continent.
Some of the Nigerian players play well, like Musa play well. That's probably the only one I can think of.
We all know about the Moroccan guy, I can't remember his name. Musa played well. Koulibaly played well for Senegal.
What about the ones in the big leagues and were pretty disappointing in this World Cup?
Oh, gosh. Boy, you got to give me a list. I'll say 95% of them. I expected more from Mane. Wrong shoes, wrong something. I don't know, but just it was playing like it was, you know, it was already in.
And I would say Salah, but he's injured, so it's not much he can do.
Well, Salah, maybe with the injury, you know, playing in the Champions League finals, you know, get hurt his shoulder. I think coming to the World Cup, it was like a big name coming up that we all looking forward to play. But I think it was disappointing for his team. He didn't step up to the plate. When he played, yeah, he played, but he was just like mostly walking around and not getting the team around. So, and I think the whole African continent was like looking for him, you know, to be something different for the World Cup.
Lastly, do you agree with this fair play rule?
It's very unfair in a way because this game, Senegal and Colombia, that should have been a clear penalty, and the referee knows that, and the referee will remember that for the rest of his life. And congratulations to the Colombians, you guys deserve it, but you know that was a clear penalty. That's all I have to say.
This is what it is. You know, Senegal scores one goal, we're talking about this. Just, you know, we can't be worried about little technicalities, you know.
You've been listening to some supporters of Senegal's World Cup team at the Lucky Bar in Washington, D.C., and thanks to reporter Prince Nesta for that audio package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now from St. Petersburg, Russia, with more World Cup news, is our Daybreak Africa sportsman, Samson Omale. Sporty World Cup greetings, Samson.
Sporty World Cup greetings to you, Sonny. Following the 1-0 defeat to Colombia, Senegal were left with an identical record as Japan, who advanced because they only picked up 4 yellow cards in the group stage, while Senegal had 6. The fair play ranking is being used as a tiebreaker for the first time at a World Cup. Senegal became the first team ever to be eliminated due to yellow cards accrued after they were beaten 1-0 by Colombia in Samara on Thursday in the 2018 FIFA World Cup currently underway in Russia. The Lions of Taranga largely limited their opponent's chances but were undone by another set piece when Yerry Mina rose above the defense to head home in the 74th minute. Some fans have expressed disappointment over the failure of the Senegalese team or any other African team to make it beyond the first round.
I think that it just shows how much it's difficult for African countries, because I believe all the African countries with Senegal are unfortunately going home. But you know, the passion is there. It's just that the means are not there to make sure that the best get the best training and compete and are able. But I believe we will get there one day.
I'm talking about Senegal. They had the best opportunities to get to that level. The match against, the last match they played, it was unfortunate that they were maybe giving too many yellow cards that maybe kicked them out, maybe against maybe to the benefit of Japan. But to be candid with you, we Africans, we have a lot of things to do.
I think that Senegal, they are a good side. They have the talent, but why they are there, they are not there is because they are not really professional to be able to avoid some things.
A total of 48 of the 64 matches have been played in the first round of the 2018 FIFA World Cup in Russia. 122 goals have been scored, while a total of 158 yellow cards have been issued to players. Referees have so far issued 3 red cards. At a press conference in Moscow on Friday, FIFA heads of referee explained that VAR intervention also reversed a couple of decisions, totaling about 14 in the first round of matches.
Again, some breakdown of the figures. We had 14 decisions changed by the intervention of the VAR. We had 6 penalties awarded based on the intervention of the VAR. Then there were 2 penalties which were initially given by the referee on the field of play, which were cancelled by the referee himself after having reviewed the incident on the monitor.
The holy month of Ramadan has been blamed for the Faroes' woeful performance at the 2018 FIFA World Cup. The Egypt Football Association EFA president Hani Aburida says the religious obligation, which required all adherents to fast during the period, affected team performance. The squad chose to fast during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan that ended the day before Egypt's opening game. Egypt lost all of its group games.
Thank you, Samson. That's Samson Omale reporting from St. Petersburg, Russia. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. And how about another fun World Cup fact for our VOA listeners? Exactly 60 years ago today, on June 29th, 1958, Brazil beat host Sweden 5-2 in the World Cup final. The Brazilians and the Swedes, well, they're back in the knockout stages of the 2018 World Cup. But let's break it down to that match 60 years ago. Guess who scored 2 of the goals for Brazil in that 1958 World Cup final? Then 17-year-old Pelé, 17 years old, he scores 2 goals in the World Cup final. And at that point, he launched a great career. Many call him the greatest footballer in history. And keep this in mind, VOA World Cup fans. Pelé, the only player in history to lift the World Cup 3, count them 3 times. So until Lionel Messi lifts the World Cup once. Lift it once, Messi. Just lift it once. I'm not going to put him, Lionel Messi, on the same plane as Pelé. Pelé, 3 World Cup trophies. Count it, VOA World Cup fans. And that wraps up the June 29th special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Kwame Ofori. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a wonderful World Cup weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Over the past 5 years, the Feed the Future Nigeria Livelihoods Project has helped pull some of the most vulnerable families in Nigeria out of poverty. This U.S. government foreign assistance program has helped Nigerians improve agricultural production, income generation, nutrition, and sanitation. The $22.6 million program in Nigeria began in 2013 and concluded just last month. Administered by the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, and implemented by Catholic Relief Services, the program initially helped 42,000 poor households in Abuja, Nigeria's capital, Kebbi, and Sokoto states to increase agricultural production, diversify incomes, and improve nutrition. It also provided livelihoods planning skills, adult literacy and numeracy instruction, and cash transfers to the most vulnerable households. In 2017, the program expanded to Adamawa, Borno, and Yobe states, reaching 10,000 more households. This project took a holistic approach to agriculture, to livelihoods, and to social development, said USAID Mission Director Stephen Hagen. It addressed the needs of the extreme poor by improving incomes and reducing vulnerabilities, and in this way serving as a model for efforts to build resilience in rural Nigeria. The USAID program introduced new technology, improving agricultural production and access to input markets such as quality seeds for smallholder farmers. As a result, crop yields doubled for more than 33,000 farmers. The program also helped farmers to reduce post-harvest losses. The activity engaged poor households in the rural economy by providing business skills and financial literacy support, vocational trainings and lending schemes, and safe spaces for adolescent girls. Additionally, more than 2,000 community workers were trained to deliver over 1.5 million counseling and group sessions on nutrition that led to a 22% drop in stunting, 10% drop in wasting, and 53% increase in exclusive breastfeeding rates in targeted locations. A cash transfer component alone helped lift 2,740 households out of poverty. State and local governments have shown positive support towards sustaining the gains from the program. The U.S. is proud to work with its partner Nigeria to improve the lives of the Nigerian people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Sporty greetings to all our VOA listeners. This is Sonny Young, host of The Sunny Side of Sports. Please join me at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC, Monday through Friday, for special World Cup updates during the month-long football festival in Russia, right here on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.